Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today's episode is called The God Formula. Inspired by a book called Becoming Like God by the amazing author Michael Berg. I found this book enlightening. I wanted to sort of give an abridged idea of its thesis. Berg is an amazing author who wrote a book called The Way, Using the Wisdom of Kabbalah for Spiritual Transformation, Becoming Like God, another book called The Secrets of the Zohar, which is fantastic. All of these books I found to be profoundly interesting. Many of the books that are written about the Kabbalah I find to be very hard to understand. And I have definite blocks when I read some Kabbalic material. I've tried to go into some of the classics, even the Zohar, and I've always found it hard to understand. Much of the discussion of the Kabbalah is almost mathematical, and there are lots of elements to it that I don't entirely understand. I understand the diagram of the tree of life and the different elements to this tree, understanding that light is essentially entering through these different elements, becoming refracted and limited. And it's kind of like a map for us to move and escape into other densities and other levels of existence. Michael Berg is just one of the better authors about this particular subject. And his book, Becoming Like God, I found to be very powerful. This episode's not really a discussion of the Kabbalah, but it's a discussion of a very simple formula. The idea is that we are here to become like God, to become God. We are God. This is a central principle to this podcast, and we've discussed it on many different levels. Berg explains that at this level, we are essentially in a prison. All of us in our bodies right now are in a prison. Berg gives the story of a prince. There was once a prince who lived in a grand palace, and it was filled with treasures from every corner of the earth. Persian rugs, French tapestries, hand-carved tables, and the finest paintings from Europe and Asia. Its rooms overflowed with silver platters of fruit and orchids and bouquets of exotic flowers. But there was a problem. The shutters were fastened across every window. Not a single ray of sunlight entered the palace. And this is how this prince had lived, in the darkness. And then one day a servant found the courage to ask the prince why he liked to inhabit the dark. Opening the shutters and the light came in, and he could suddenly see all the wonderful gifts around him. Using this as a metaphor for what's happening within you, that you're walking in this prison of darkness, which is really a palace of wonderful gifts. And the prison that we're in is not really the world as we've been led to believe it. It is merely a prison. A prison with high-speed internet access, perhaps, but a prison nevertheless, whose walls are suffering and whose gates are death. And this life is a prison. Vanishing in time, destined to die, clinging to an illusion of separateness from God. These are the ultimate sources of desperation. Replacing them requires a decision crossing a line. The journey to become like God must become more than an intriguing idea that we talk about on this podcast. This book inspired me to say that it must become a realization that enters our cells with the force of destiny. How do we escape from this prison? If we are in a prison on this planet, in this body, how can we escape from this prison? Berg tells us that the path of escape leads past the ultimate prison guard, the negative force ancient texts refer to as desire to receive for the self alone. It is a force programmed into the atoms of physical nature that opposes every effort we make to change it. This goes to the Law of One discussion of this choice that we're making while in this density of serving others or serving only the self. The generative force for everything that we do down to the atomic level and the subatomic level is to receive for the self alone, only thinking of the self and nothing else. This is the prison that we exist within. We are in this prison of self, and it's an insidious thing. There's no hope of escape. Berg likes to determine that this force of desire for the self alone, which we can call the ego, is the opponent. It is what we're up against in order to escape this prison. That the ego is actually just a prison guard, keeping us locked in this prison. We must understand the insidious nature of this opponent. And unless we do, there's no hope for us escaping. The opponent comes dressed in the clothes of a friend rather than the uniform of a guard, and then betrays us endlessly to our captors. Even worse, the opponent convinces us that he is us. What we call life is a vast case of mistaken identity, and until we distinguish our identity from the opponent's, from the ego, we will remain imprisoned forever. So let's begin a journey through this podcast, through this episode, on a highway of transformation. It's very simple. But if I can inspire you to think of your world in a different way than you have up to this point, which is the very nature of this reality that we're in, we can become revulsed by this opponent. A journey that we can conduct that will lead us closer to God, because once we escape from the prison, we are in the territory of God. Now, the mind will say, this is just another YouTube episode, another podcast. It can't be serious. What chance do I have of remembering this godly nature I supposedly possess every time I make a decision, every time I breathe? How could I scale walls so few before me have ever scaled? I'm such a great person. I've done some amazing things. And the opponent is pleased that you feel that way. Now, the interesting point that Michael Berg makes is that Leonardo da Vinci and the Wright brothers, when they invented the plane, all the great artists and inventors resisted the opponent. They did not agree with the opponent. They did not think that they were the best. They let go of their egos. And at each shift of them doing this, the impossible became possible. The unthinkable became normal. And now, Berg exclaims that a seismic shift has occurred, and we have the fortune to be alive for the most extraordinary moment in the history of human consciousness. It is a time when what was once absurd will become commonplace. It is now possible. Berg makes the titillating suggestion in his book, it is now possible for large numbers of people to escape the prison of pain, suffering, and death. And by doing so, they'll form a critical mass that will change the world for everyone else. That is an amazing idea, an amazing potentiality that is written into this book. And so this is an invitation on a journey. I'm going to share with you the formula, the God formula that Michael Berg gives in this book. And if we can follow this God formula, then amazing things can happen for you and us as a whole. The truth is, we are destined to become like God. I can feel that. I see that reflected in all these authors that I'm reading from. I can feel it in my heart. We are destined to become God. But we have been tricked into becoming inmates in a prison, posing as ants, indifferent to the spread of what we are and what we could be. You are created in God's image. You have the same essence and spark, and therefore the same potential as God. You are destined to become God. So keep asking yourself, am I like God yet? Am I God yet? Am I manifesting godly powers? Can I heal the sick and bless people? Have I resurrected the dead? The yardstick suddenly extends to infinity. I don't just measure myself against myself, I measure myself against God. This is our potential. Whoever we are, whatever our impediments, real or imagined. Even in the Bible, Moses was physically frail and spoke with a lisp. Greatness is not reserved for the great. The great are simply those who have risen to meet their destiny. You are destined to be great. If you're not doing what you were meant to do, and each person was meant for something astonishing, you'll never enjoy contentment. We are told by Neville Goddard and Joseph Murphy, by the Buddha and Jesus, Muhammad, that we have this thing within us that is special and powerful, and it is a potentiality that is within us. But perhaps it's quite true. In this chemical body, we are faced with an illusion. We can only sense what we can feel, what we can taste, what we can touch, what we can see. We are limited by 5 basic senses in this realm. But there is a map. And if we follow this map, we can escape into our true essence. Now, this can be done subconsciously or unconsciously, and it can happen naturally. But if you were to map it out, it would look like the tree of life, moving through the tree of life, moving through the energy centers in your body. What I have learned is not to make it too complicated. And so this helped me to simplify what we have to do. But the key element before we go into the formula is that we must realize our potential. We are not insignificant. Everything matters. Everything counts. Everything affects everything else. This ego opponent within us has convinced us that we are powerless. With every action, the world stands in the balance. Every moment, with every breath, we are choosing between these two opposing forces. The force of self and the force of serving others. Berg also explains that as you become like God, others become like God at a faster pace. It becomes easier for them to become like God. And that's what I loved about the book, is that it really brings in this group principle, and it very much resonated with the Law of One. So we inhabit a prison, a strange sort of prison, to be sure, because most inmates don't even realize we're behind bars. We're even conditioned to scoff at the notion that there might actually be another world, a world of joy and light shining right beyond the prison walls. Then one day, someone hands us an escape plan that includes a layout of the prison and a step-by-step plan of escape, a flawless plan. What will we do? This is the escape plan that Michael Berg proposes in his book. And this escape plan is simple. It's not anything that requires you to understand any Hebrew dictates or mathematical formulas. So the first part of the God formula is 1, the world is the war of 2 opposite forces, light and darkness. We see this duality in everything that we do. We see it written into the very world and illusion that we live in. And at times it can be quite annoying, so simplistic, so ridiculous. Everything is dualistic. The sun and the night. Darkness and light. Happiness and sadness. Young and old. It's written into our very bodies, right and left. 2 eyes, 2 ears. This dualistic nature is built into this simulation. So we have to accept it. This is the world that we're in. It's a preschool. We're only dealing with 2 opposing forces, not 4, not 7, darkness and light. So the second element to the God formula is the source of light. better known as God, is the wellspring of all joy, fulfillment, and life. The force of darkness, better known as the ego nature or the opponent, is the source of all pain, suffering, and death. All the positive things that we experience in our lives are manifestations of the light of the Creator. Ego is the state of total disconnection from God's light. Therefore, it brings complete darkness. We navigate between these two forces. When we are in the clutches of the desire to receive for the self alone, we veer ever closer to darkness. There, we feast on a steady diet of chaos and sickness and are finally sentenced to death. Everything is this battle between desire to receive for the self alone and the desire to receive for the self and others. How often do you desire to receive for the self alone? If so, it's built in to the very chemical components and atomic substructure of who you are. That's how you awaken. That's how you are meant to think. You're put into a computer that thinks that way by program. Receiving for the self alone. That is why you have been a prisoner here for so long. The way of escaping this prison is to let go of the ego. Now, understanding the ego is much more complex than what we begin to think of it. My concept of ego has transcended my initial concepts I had as a child or growing up, because ego is part of the word egotistical, and I believe that the ego is an entity, a part of us, a part of our personality. It doesn't necessarily mean egotistical. It is a part of you that wants to survive. It can be helpful. It's not all bad, but it is the source of all chaos, sickness, and it is closing us off from the light. So the third principle is that we create our lives by whatever force that we connect to. So when we're creating our reality, if we're creating it by light, we have joy, fulfillment, and life. And if we're creating it in the darkness, we have pain, suffering, and death. There is a choice to be made at every moment. We have the power to choose our reality. Each moment we can connect in varying degrees to light and to darkness, depending on our actions and our thoughts. To the degree our actions connect to God, we will experience light and fulfillment. And to the degree our actions connect to darkness and the ego, we will experience pain. And as we choose to move closer to the light, we will experience a greater degree of fulfillment and less pain. And as we choose to move closer to the ego nature and the absence of God's light, we increase our experience of pain and decrease our fulfillment. That's our only choices. It's like a coloring book, super simple. You only have a couple of different crayons to choose from to color your picture. It's a very basic program that's running. Darkness and light. We see it reflected in the TV shows we watch. We see it reflected in the books that we read. We see it reflected in the world around us. And we see it even in the way that the media describes the world, darkness and light. Everything is a choice. And sometimes there's false darkness and false light, and it's all a part of what we're choosing. So the fourth part of the God formula is that we connect to the two forces through the law of similarity of form. We connect to and become what we become like. Like attracts like. We're accustomed to the idea of things being separated by space, and on a deeper level, things are separated or connected by a similarity or dissimilarity of form. We're separated from God, for example, because we're not like him or her. We don't match his essence. God is an essence of sharing, and ours is of receiving. So according to the law of similarity of form, when essences match, the separation ends. This means that as our essence becomes more like God's essence, we move closer to being like God and then becoming God. Another way to say this is we become like God by behaving like God. The fifth element of the God formula is that we become like God by systematically destroying the ego, because the desire to receive for the self alone is the opposite of God. He does not receive from anyone. Through a cosmic case of mistaken identity, we connect to the ego, to a dissimilarity of nature with God. The world has been carefully designed by the ego or the opponent for the care and feeding of that ego. The endless craving for respect, vanity, praise, and flattery, and the ceaseless indulgence of selfish desires. To achieve similarity of form to match God's essence, we must move wholeheartedly in the opposite direction to confronting, humiliating, embarrassing, and purging that ego nature rather than propping it up, and freeing ourselves from the need to indulge selfish desires until our essence finally becomes like God's essence. The point that Berg is making is that God doesn't ever receive from anyone. God shares. This is God. So if we're receiving alone, we are outside of that realm of God. So the sixth and final part of the God formula is that we become like God by transforming into beings of sharing, because God is a force of infinite sharing. Desire to receive for the self alone is the opposite of God's nature, which is a nature of infinite sharing. By opposing this selfish desire and becoming beings of sharing, we match God's essence. Transforming into a being of sharing does not mean performing an occasional act of generosity, according to Berg. It mandates continual movement toward the light and a change of form to become a being in which every thought, every action, and every utterance comes from the desire to share. This transformation in which sharing becomes a way of living, not merely an occasional act in which sharing is done when it is not easy or comfortable to share, bears a special name. It's called transformative sharing, and that is the God formula. Through a dual process of eradicating the ego and performing transformative sharing, we awaken our true nature and become like God, eventually becoming God, creating a life of total joy and fulfillment. Now, I see this in the life of Neville Goddard. Neville Goddard was a dancer and concerned about himself, and then started to spend a lot of time imagining for other people. People would come to him all the time, and he would imagine for them on a regular basis, constantly sharing his imagination with them. And then suddenly he was more like God. I think that when you see people in the world that are selfish and they're only about themselves, they are more separate than God than we can imagine. The light is not there, the darkness is there. So once again, the God formula is, first of all, the world is the war of two opposite forces, light and darkness. Secondly, the source of light, better known as God, is the wellspring of all joy, fulfillment, and life. The force of darkness, better known as ego nature, is the source of all pain, suffering, and death. And third, we create our lives by whichever force we connect to. There is a choice to be made at every moment. And four, we are connecting the two forces through the law of similarity of form. We connect to and become what we become like. And then fifth, we become like God by systematically destroying the ego, because the desire to receive for the self alone is the opposite of God. He does not receive from anyone. He is sharing. And then sixth, we become like God by transforming into beings of sharing, because God is a force of infinite sharing. And that is the God formula. The majority of us feel that God exists. And if that's true, he would never consign the human race to endless suffering and unavoidable death. So union with God is possible, and its consequence is never-ending joy, according to Berg. And removal of death. God does not suffer and die. Therefore, we don't need to suffer and die. We begin with ruthless honesty about our present state. We must name the extent to which selfishness governs our every action? Have you been honest about the selfishness in your life? Have you been honest about the actions that you take that are selfish? We must focus the truth upon ourselves and reveal that everything we do is born of selfish desire in many cases. The desire to receive for the self alone and no one else, for many of us, is on the permanent on position. This is mostly true when we think we're acting selflessly. When we make a donation, help our neighbor, go the extra mile at work, or pray for humanity in a place of prayer, most often we're trying to gain advantage for ourselves, or our agenda may be to feel good about ourselves. It may be to appear spiritual in the eyes of the world, but a pure gaze on our motives suggests our motives are rarely pure. So the God formula is a two-tiered assault on the ego, the process of destroying our ego on the inside and performing transformative sharing on the outside, an assault with no rest, no compromise, and one constant litmus test. Am I God yet, or am I not? The process of destroying ego is not a moral decision. It's down-to-earth, hard-headed, practical decision because it leads to happiness and fulfillment. Transformative sharing does not come automatically. Rather, it violates our sense of entitlement. It is so contrary to our nature, in fact, that it changes our nature itself. Sharing and ego do not get along. Just as a wall and sunlight are inversely proportional. The more the wall, the less the sun. The less wall, the more sun. We share with others so we can truly give to ourselves. Kabbalists teach, according to Berg, that the world was created with a single purpose: to provide the Creator with an opportunity to share His abundance with His creations. With that purpose in mind, the Creator shaped vessels to receive that abundance. These vessels sometimes are human beings. Unfortunately, we have underperformed in our promise. We were designed to become one with our Creator. We were built to hold an infinite payload of health, joy, and life. Instead, we contain a little health, a few infinitesimal drops of joy, and about 75 years of pain and suffering. Instead of being infinite, we're like little thimbles in a vast ocean of life. When the self is preoccupied with its own desires, obsessed with its own survival, and driven by hunger for immediate gratification, the self becomes opaque to the Creator's light. We fail, not because we want to receive, but because we want to receive so little. As the great Kabbalist Rav Ashlag said, there's nothing wrong with desire itself. It's just that the vessel we use to receive our desire is so limited. Consumed by ego, our desires are in fact not simply limited, they are harmful. This is a key point. If the ego is driving the desire, then it becomes harmful. There is an aspect of your personality that is limited in its thinking, that is thinking about survival, that thinks it will never live beyond this life, that controls your urges and desires, that does not actually consider the spiritual nature of the world around you and who you truly are. That is your ego. It's a part of you. Now, if your desire comes from somewhere else, where it's not designed to satisfy that small aspect of your personality, then it's not dangerous. Berg explains that the ego is a state of amnesia. We don't remember what we came here to do, to manifest our true nature and become like God. The ego makes us forget because we're constantly driven by these ego desires. It's mechanical behavior. It's like we're a robot. So we need a plan to follow every moment of our lives from this instant right now, because the next instant we'll forget and then we'll have to remember again. The God formula can't just be another thing we know. It must be remembered constantly with clarity. The assault on ego and the process of transformative sharing must become our operating system. A better way to understand this: a drop of being is worth a pound of knowing. Being is true knowledge, because knowledge without action has limited value. We begin to act. Where ego rises up, we destroy it. When we don't feel like sharing, we share. Each action gets a little closer to the light, a little closer to becoming like God, a little further from death. And the most important truth of all is the fact that becoming like God is possible. We can do it. It is observed that we use only 4% of our brain. Who knows how much of our heart and soul we're using? There's an oasis not far away. This episode hopefully can inspire you. Don't forget, it can take you to who you truly are. Berg is adamant that we can escape death through this process. But the key is the Zohar, which talks about the Kabbalah, explains that there are two poles, light and darkness. The light is God, eternal life, and total fulfillment. And the darkness is ego or desire to receive for the self alone, and is the force of death. And when we choose to connect to darkness, we move closer toward death. When we choose to connect to the light, on the other hand, we are drawn more and more life force. Our job is to travel to the light. And when we reach it completely, when we become like God, death shall have no dominion. So I think that we need to come to a greater understanding of the ego and what it is and how subtle it can be. We can be taking actions that are ego-based and not know it. Ego is sort of the energy of death. When we're connecting to the Creator, we remove death from our lives. It begins by realizing, by making real inside our beings, that every time we go after the desire to receive for the self alone, we're actually attracting death. When we see this as an absolute fact, we'll get closer to becoming like God. I have a lot of work to do. And this made me realize I need to identify this aspect of myself. The one thing that Berg advises is for us to understand that comfort is an illusion, that it kills. It's a warm blanket that keeps us wrapped in the desire to receive for the self alone. When we feel comfortable, that comfort is related to the ego. What's comfortable for the body is misery for the soul. As souls, we're trapped in the 24-hour survival drama of the bodies we inhabit. So the main message I got was that the journey to God is an ejection seat from the comfort zone that we are in. True comfort is the crossing of an abyss. On one side is us, on the other side is fulfillment. We've been trying to drag happiness over to our side of the abyss, when what we really need to do is jump to the other side. Leaping the abyss is total transformation of our nature, becoming like the Creator rather than hoping the Creator will become like us. So if we seek to become like God and to move away from the ego, it's going to be uncomfortable. There's discomfort. And under every rock of discomfort is concealed an opportunity to become more like God. The question is not, am I taking spiritual action? The question is, am I taking uncomfortable action? Uncomfortable action tends to be spiritual. The real emphasis is that it becomes comfortable. And if we are feeling comfortable, then that is an enemy. And we are actually prisoners within our bodies. And we must be aware that comfort can work against us. The journey to God is a liberation of a minuscule corner of the universe called whoever you are, John, Joanne, Christine, to a unification with everyone's life, to a compassion that extends to every being in existence, and to the vast ocean of suffering that engulfs them simply because they were born into this world of ego. Becoming like God demands an obliteration of that separation. It demands that we end for eternity every distinction, border, and boundary between what is us and what is not us. To be like God is not to be two with the universe, it is to be one. The really hopeful thing about this book that I recommend that you read, and once again, it's Becoming Like God by Michael Berg, is that we can reach a critical mass. Berg explains that the world can achieve a critical mass of people on the path to becoming like God, so that pain, suffering, and death will vanish. To so care about the world is part of the process of becoming like God, because feeling mankind's pain and striving ceaselessly for an end to it is an aspect of being like God. Our destiny is to become God. The opponent, the ego, will try to make us forget. We will not forget. The ego will try to weaken our resolve to change. We will not let this happen. We will remind ourselves repeatedly of what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it. Our destiny is to become God. We will open the gates of this prison for ourselves, for our children, and for the world. Our destiny is to become God, and we will remove the pain, the suffering, and death forever. So check this out, and I will continue my research of the Kabbalah to better understand and explain it to you in a way that is authentic. So I've given a very basic beginning idea. And if this concept is Kabbalic, then it's very similar to what we find in Buddhism, which also stresses the release of the ego as the source of suffering, but using a sort of different way of explaining it. Understand, there's a way to escape it. There's a way to escape this world that we're in, and the ego is our prison guard. That metaphor is strong with me. It helps me to understand the battle that I'm undertaking. For me, there's a neutral observer, and that to me is not the ego. I've identified with this other portion of myself that has a personality that acts and thinks unselfishly, and then there's the selfish version of myself, and they are always battling. Many times, much more subtly than I ever expected. These battles are important, and they're helping me to understand the world that I'm in. Can you follow the God formula? It seems so simple, but if we do together, we can change the world. You can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com, and welcome to The Reality Revolution.